my thing needs
Welcome
quick.
Back.
Thank you.
We are on item number four, board meeting dates and times. And I believe, Ms. Moreno Jimenez, you pulled that?
I pulled that. Okay, I either needed to clarify or bring it to attention. Here it is. On April 12th, we're proposing to meet on the 12th, and NSBA is 4-9 through 4-11, and traditionally isn't like the 12th the next day, travel day. So I was, like I said, I just needed some clarification, because last year we did the meeting the last Tuesday in April so that we wouldn't conflict with NSBA. So that was my question.
Whatever you want to change it to.
Okay. But are we off of school that week?
What's the week we're off of school?
That was my second question. Yeah. When are we on spring break?
You're in charge of the calendar.
We do two-year calendars, you know. Good grief. We do two-year calendars.
Easter is the last Sunday of April.
Wait, this is 2011?
Yeah, Easter. Yeah, this is 2011. Easter is the last Sunday.
The 18th.
We're not off that week.
No.
Are we off the week before Easter?
April 18th to 22nd.
That's when we're off, April 18th through 22nd. But your concern is about NSBA.
NSBA, yes.
Okay.
And last year, our meeting was the last Tuesday in April.
Yeah, she told us that, yeah.
Goes to the 11th?
Spring break is the following week, but NSBA is that week. Okay.
So do we move it to the following week? Do we skip the second Tuesday and go to the 4th?
Go to the 4th Tuesday.
The 26th?
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying that I believe NSBA, the last day is the 11th, which is a half day, and it's in San Francisco this year as opposed to Chicago, which would have made travel longer.
That would have made it an entire day. Yes, I traveled the whole day.
Just get home on the 11th
okay.
And be here on
so
the
then
12th.
Okay. So I didn't know that it was only a half day that day.
Okay.
Then we solved it. Thank you very much. That was the clarification
I
needed.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the 2011 board meeting dates.
The question I
have. As listed and designate the starting time of 7 p.m. Is there a second?
Yeah. Really quick, I have a question about.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to let you ask it, but is there a second?
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, yes.
Okay, July 12th. That meeting I would like to move to the 4th Tuesday. Because we do have two meetings in June. I think it would be better spaced. I will also be out of the country.
So that's probably the real reason.
Well, and traditionally we do it later in the month.
I have no problem with moving it.
What's the last Tuesday?
It's the 26th.
You want to do July 26th then?
That would be fine.
Somebody makes a motion.
Hold on. I'm checking.
Thank you.
I just had to send a text message to find out.
Okay, social calendar.
July. Okay, I'm okay.
I think I'm okay. Okay, does anyone object to changing that? You'll object sometime in June?
I either am or I'm not.
Oh.
Okay, so.
I'm so sorry. Wait a minute. The other thing with NSBA.
Hold on. One thing at a time.
I'm sorry.
Let's deal with this. Is there any objection to changing July 12th to the 26th?
No, I'm in my motion.
Okay, great. Okay, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. There was another thing that I remembered. Okay, I can take the packet with me. We'll get the packet on April 8th, right?
No. But
traditionally, when
I see. Yes.
So
the Friday
that way, I could take it to the conference with me and read it over there in the conference.
Yes.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah, we can PDF it. Okay.
Oh, okay, thank you. Because that was the other problem with being in Chicago. I think I had to leave on a Friday. Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
We're okay.
That was the other thing I needed to
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the board. A calendar is amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
I did.
5-0. Revision of board policy, second reading. I asked to have these taken off. Because of the ARs. So I don't know if you want to do all the BPs at one time or not, if the board would like to do that. I want to talk about the ARs.
Okay, I'll move the board policies as presented.
For second reading?
For second reading.
there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's moved and seconded, and that's the first four BPs listed there, 3314.2, 4030, 5127, and 6145. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Great, it's approved. These next two, I wouldn't mind making them for first reading, but I had a question specifically on page 5-0, not 5-0, but 5-0. And that was on the special education staff. I didn't see where my understanding was that there is, and I realize we're complying with the ed code changes and that kind of stuff. My understanding is when there's a new teacher at a middle school or high school, that's a special ed teacher, there's another different criteria that can be used to have them qualified to teach as long as they're enrolled in a special education intern program. It's some reg that came out, I thought, 4 or 5 years ago from Department of Ed. And I didn't know if that's in a different place or you know, a different – is that in the policy part and not the AR? Because the AR, you have the changes in the code that deal with well, you have caseloads and all that kind of stuff, too. But, you know, the criteria.
Okay, so we're going to have to research that because I'm not sure. Do you, Mike? Are you sure about that?
I think that if there's a middle school or high school teacher that is new, so like a new teacher, but they're enrolled in a special ed intern program, there's some provision based on their units that they can still be allowed to teach special ed. I didn't know if that applied to these sections or not.
Well, can I maybe answer?
If you know.
Well, it says here that students with disabilities shall, you know, any teacher assigned to serve students with disabilities shall possess an appropriate credential or other authorization. I think that would fall under other authorization, that if they're enrolled, they are authorized to do it.
I'm not sure, though.
Special ed teacher, potential candidate is enrolled in an intern program at the university, we can accept that as authorization.
Yeah, but it's very specific here in the AR about all the other, you know, parts of it. So that's the only thing. So that was one thing. And then the second thing was, when I was going through some of this, Education Code Section 53362 on page 5P, mm-hmm. I couldn't find it. So I think it's a typo. It must be a different section, but I didn't have a chance to kind of track that down.
Hmm. Okay, we'll look it up. Ed Code
5362.
It's supposed to be 56362.
Okay, probably. Okay, but you'll check that and
yes.
Bring it back.
Which is the Ed Code I see on 5Q.
And then I guess just the other question I had on this was with the change in the course, some of the caseload stuff and the qualifications, how does that affect actually what we're doing in our district? Does it affect it at all, these changes in law, or is it we're already doing all these things?
We're doing them. We're already
hit all these caseload marks and all that stuff? Mm-hmm. So it's not a problem?
Are we? Ellie says yes. I said yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Unanimous, yes.
Consensus. Well, those were my things, so... I mean, I'm willing to move AR 4032 and 4112.23 for first reading.
Mm-kay.
Just those two ARs.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion?
Well, did you have a question on AR 4032?
No, but it is new, so I just kind of lumped it together. It's for our first reading. I mean, we could, you know, I didn't have a question, but just to give it another
okay,
go. And we'll see if Mike's right about his guess about the Ed Code section.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approve 5-0. Okay. Item number 6. These are all new board policies. Open Enrollment Act transfers. Does anyone have any questions on the first one? I had a question on this. In our district, Monta Vista, this applies to Monta Vista, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was taken off the list?
Yeah.
And then West Cove was taken off when we reconfigured.
We think they were, yeah. We're in the process of doing that.
Okay, so it
we
may or may not.
We don't think it's going to apply to us, but still they're on the
How
list.
How did Monta Vista get taken off the list?
Because they made their API.
Oh, this time, yeah, okay. But they were going to be on the
yes.
list. But West Cove, because of the reconfiguration,
right.
You think they go off, right?
That's what we're hoping. Yes.
Okay. I guess the question is just more how people would know, because I think people don't track in January that that's the time to check out another school. I mean, because school just started for 3 months, they came back from Christmas, and they have January 1 deadline. So I don't know how people know about this.
We sent them a letter.
You sent everyone a letter?
Yes.
Okay, but we didn't do that.
We actually did.
For Wesco?
This is the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to have a letter ready on the first day of school this year. And then there's a period of time designated to notify parents of that opportunity.
And if it's taken away, how does that work? Like if the state says we don't have to do it?
No, I don't know, but none of our parents have taken us up on it.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's not a problem then. Okay. Okay, any more questions on open enrollment? Questioning and apprehension. Any questions? Okay, non-discrimination harassment. Any questions? Any questions? Okay. Independent study, PPAR 6158. Any questions from the board? Okay. I guess I had a question on this, but not necessarily on the policy. Just how many independent study classes do we offer that are outside the, like I know we do it with APs, for example, you know, where people can use, you know, online, you know, for courses we don't offer. And it says in here you can't use technology for classes you do offer, right? Are there other classes other than AP ones that we offer?
Mm-hmm. Who wants to answer that?
I mean, other than just like an independent study student, but I mean, you know. What classes other than the AP classes do we offer through?
Like the kids at Coronado can take independent study classes for regular subjects, right?
But not if they're being taught, though, right? Isn't there something in here about that?
You mean if they take a single independent study class?
Mm-hmm.
They're not in the independent study program.
Right. Right, they're not in that, correct. Right, so how many independent study classes do we offer outside of that? Mm-hmm.
So anytime a student needs a particular class, they can take that particular class.
Okay. You mean if they need that class, they can take
it at
Coronado?
Right, example, right, yeah.
Okay. What about at the high school or, I don't know, I guess even middle school or whatever, but may I please?
They can do it there as well.
Elementary school? I mean, do we have programs for that?
I haven't seen it, but. For them, I don't know that we have any students currently.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is just, you know, the use of technology, and we're going to talk about student technology in a second. You know, we talk a lot, when we have presentations, we talk about differentiated instruction. You know, and that's really grade level. But, you know, with technology, we can actually, you know, individualize, you know, educational programs for everybody. And that's the only reason I guess I put that out there, just because it really, you know, like we've done it with the AP classes, you know, it's not like it used to be where you had to have all the different things in order to support a class. So, okay. Student use of technology. Any questions? Any questions on that, student use of technology? What is the reasoning for banning, I guess in theory, using social networking for high school students, I guess in theory. I say in theory banning it because...
Yeah, they can get around it.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, you just use your cell phone, you know. So.
Yeah. Part of our obligation is to ensure that they're not using social networking for purposes of bullying somebody or using it to... Inappropriate use, okay? So because mm-hmm. it's so difficult to regulate, it basically states that our students are supposed to use it for education, not for social.
Yeah, but I mean, but they could log into an email account, right? I mean, they can do all kinds of other things, you know, posting on blogs and all kinds of other stuff through our servers, can't they?
They can figure out lots of things to do. We still say that our policy should be that they don't.
Mm-hmm. No, but we don't say that about those other things. It's just the social networking. Because that's actually, you know, I mean, supposedly, I don't know, because I'm old, I use email. Supposedly that's old. You know, that's something your dad uses. You know, that's what my kids tell me. So, you know, because they don't use, because kids don't use email. You know, they use, you know, texting or social networking and stuff. So I don't know.
Students have the advantage of being able to interact with other students through that sort of monitored, controlled network.
Okay. And do we need to look at our cell phone policy? Because we banned it at the middle school level without parental permission, and I have a feeling that we probably don't actually enforce that.
It's a constant challenge.
I'm just thinking. Okay. Well, I know we're bringing back all the board policies in the summer.
One big retreat.
Except for the important ones we have to do now. Except for the important ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, foster youth, anyone? Is there a motion on all these? Moved by Ms. Shoemaker. Is there a second?
Second
by Mrs. Polis. To adopt the following board policies for first reading, 511, 7.3, 514, 5.11, 514, 5.3, BPNAR 6158, BPAR 6163.4, and BPAR 6173.1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, approved 5-0. Item 7, CSBA Delegate Assembly nominations. Do you know if any of these people want to run again?
Since I was out, I didn't get the opportunity to ask them, but it wouldn't hurt to nominate them. And then they don't have to go for it.
Okay.
So I will nominate the two existing.
Blum and Ochoa?
Doris Blum and Eileen Ochoa.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's approved 5-0. Okay. Item number 8, lottery report.
All right. This item was placed on the agenda at the request of board president. And we provided, I think we left one out that we put on your table.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing that I would say that you don't already have is that basically, as the state continues to cut our, you know, ADA funds, we have been using this very discreetly. We have saved it. Most of it gets saved from year to year. And whatever is used, it's based on instructional needs at the school sites. As you know, we were one of the few districts that went ahead and bought the new adoptions of materials. And there are some things that were needed that came out of this. But for the most part, professional development and instructional materials is what it has been used for the past 2 years. And the present year.
Does anyone have any questions?
I do.
Mr. Cox?
I've got a couple of things. Just a suggestion. In the past, we have gone out to the school sites to kind of get a feel for the needs at the particular sites and have generally tried to fund that out of lottery services. So if they've got unique needs, some ideas, innovative notions towards student services, any of that nature, that this is the place where we've had generally an opportunity to provide those services and that funding, where their site budget doesn't necessarily give them that opportunity. I would like to kind of get that information. Whether or not we choose to fund it that way, that's a different story. But anyway, if we could kind of go through that process, I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I would say that the only thing that's changed is that you remember, or you might recall that I explained that we do things based now on a budget meeting. So holistically, they bring what they say their needs are. Mm-hmm. We put everything on the table and decide how to leverage funding, where in the past, it was give us your wish list for lottery. And we narrowed it to that, right? Well, this time, or for the past, I would say, 4 years, basically we say, come to the table, bring all of your needs. We decide what things we should fund centrally, what things they can fund, what budgets they have to do it. And so this is just one of several. And they, for example, no longer say, well, you know, I want a, what did they used to say? A duplicating machine or a microwave.
We didn't pay for that out of water.
Yeah, those were on the list. Yeah.
They were on the list. We didn't fund them.
No, we didn't. Oh, yes, no yes. way. There's no way I voted for that.
Yes.
You did.
Not the microwave. There's no way.
It was okay, it was called something else, but it was a microwave.
Let's look it up. I bet you didn't. I bet you didn't. Look it up. It wasn't. There's no
okay.
way.
Okay. So anyway, but if Mr. Cox, you're saying that you would like to see, you know, them say what they would take out of this one fund, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is what I'd like to see.
All right.
Anybody else?
One other thing?
You
know, we had a rather lengthy conversation this evening, and a lot of it centered around some of the special education issues and concepts. I know that in October we approved a contract with school services to do some, you know, fiscal-oriented reviews for special education. And when I was up in San Francisco, I had an opportunity to meet with a group called School Innovations and Advocacy. And one of the things that they do is provide a special education review. You know, and if one were to believe their numbers, we'd be nuts not to, take them up on their offer to provide services. It's more expensive than school reserve or school services, and there may be some duplications, but this may offer us an opportunity to provide kind of an independent view. Maybe we can perhaps even start with the charter school and then expand it if we find it of value, but at least maybe that would help throw in that sort of third-party independent look at what's going on, but at the same time, do it in a very positive structure to move forward positively. Now, the question becomes, if we do it for the charter school, you know, is it something appropriate for our funding? But the issues became up as to whether or not we have some theoretical liability with respect to all kinds of those issues, and this may be one of those areas where we can, you know, we do benefit from having to do this program. So,
okay. We'll discuss
them
tomorrow.
Consideration for that particular policy. And I've got some contact information, but I understand, and I did discuss with them that we've already got this contract going with school services, and I understand that they also had perhaps even made a presentation to the district, but it may have been a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, I'd like to see that considered.
Okay. Anybody else? I actually agree with that. You know, I was thinking about this, that the end result of all the stuff with Edison and the special ed, as painful as it's been for all of us as far as the time and effort expended in that, the bottom line with the Edison stuff on the special ed is that services are going to be provided. And so every one of those kids, we're going to ensure that they have the services provided that they're supposed to have. When they're supposed to have them. So, I mean, that end result is all good. And so, you know, I don't know if this does that, but, you know, I'd like to do that to our district, you know, that we go through every single IEP and make sure that our kids are getting the same kind of education that Edison Special Ed kids are getting.
Well, what's happening now with the contract we have is a sampling of that. They don't go into everything, but they try to find systemic issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're contracted for right now.
With the school services?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And how much would it cost to do them all, just to find them all?
This was a lot. Well, this was what, 18,000, wasn't it?
18, it's not that much.
Was that school services?
Yeah.
18,000.
Wasn't it? Yeah. I don't know. We can ask.
I mean, because...
SIA?
Or SIA. I mean, I just think that, you know... having gone through that, I think it's clear that there's lots of different little things that have been found. And, you know, I was going back and I was looking at the administrative hearing stuff on, you know, from Judge Kopic and stuff. And, you know, there's obviously some things that, you know, we can do better, you know.
Always.
Yeah. So, you know, and that'd be a one-time thing, you know, and so we wouldn't have to do it over and over again, but to ensure that they have that same kind of thing. And I was also thinking about how are we going to fund if the lawsuit isn't successful, and I don't know how much we do. I was looking for it in the budget revisions, and I didn't see it. AB 3632 services, you know, that were cut by the governor. You know, I don't know what that amount is, but, you know, I'd like to set aside some of that lottery money for the 1 year, you know, to make sure that we can pay for the services for this year. I mean, we have to provide them.
Do
but, you
know.
Do
we know the amount for mental health services for us?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I'd have to add up the number of students who get the services. I know approximately what the services cost. And I think it's in mid-January that they predict the money will run out, and then we'll get a letter or something. I mean.
Yeah, you'll get a letter saying pay up anyways.
So we can do an update on how many students we think it affects and what.
Yeah, because, you know, for at least this until the lawsuit's over or something, you know, temporarily.
Have a backup.
Or the funding gets restored, because I think it'll probably get restored at some point. But, you know, just, you know, that we can cover that temporarily, you know, that shortfall in AB 3632 stuff. And then the only other issue that has come about, and it came about actually, the LA Times started it, but then there's been some other stuff and dealing with the value-added assessments of teachers who have been in our system for a while. And I don't know who does that or how that runs. And, of course, we wouldn't use it for evaluation. But it is useful to see, you know, where we have weaknesses that can be addressed through more targeted professional development. Because right now our professional development, you know, it's good, but it's not individualized or, you know, differentiated. We have teachers at all kinds of different levels. You know what I mean? And so if we had some kind of way to do a value-added assessment, you know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I mean, I'm not saying put it online like the LA Times or anything like that. but I think if we had some kind of value-added assessment mechanism that could evaluate on a rate, you know, progress,
the data.
It might identify places where we can target professional development. Because, you know, we're getting to the point where every increase in stuff is harder and harder.
It is. We do have, you know, our own data that shows which teacher needs what in terms of their performance. Let me rephrase that. In terms of student results.
Uh-huh.
And so.
Oh, can we see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could. Our benchmarks show that. It doesn't have, like, a whole year, you know, that shows, but it's snapshots each.
Oh, you mean the benchmarks?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the year-to-year stuff, isn't it? Isn't
the year-to-year is basically, you know, when we look at the results, right, at the, what would you say, Ellie?
That's a little bit different type of analysis that would have to be done. Because when we have to look
longitudinal.
By student, by
teacher. Yeah, cohorts. Complicated.
Yeah.
No, I understand that, and you can't do that all the time, but you could do it maybe one time, and then that would give you a snapshot into where we're at and, you know, what kind of things need to be targeted where and at what, you know, and as far as the professional development,
okay,
where there's weaknesses.
We'll look into that possibility, how we could do that.
That's all I had.
You wanted it paid through lottery?
Well, it'd be a one-time thing, yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we got to see it and all that kind of stuff and see if it's possible and how much it is and all that. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of one-time things,
mm-hmm.
you know, that then they go away, obviously, like is what we normally try to do. Because we do have some that has been stored up from past years that we've collected in here. Anything else? Okay.
I just have one more
Mr.
thing.
Mr. Cox?
And you're saying how sometimes we're holding some of this money back a little bit to fund cash flow gaps and things of that nature, you know, but we're getting $1 million at a time in lottery funds, and I think maybe we'll go through it as we go through the interim financial statements, but I'd like to see us spend more of the lottery money so that we're not, you know, we're just not holding back. I think that this is money that can be sent out for the kids and used in our programs, and we need to spend it sooner.
Okay. Anything?
Yeah, yes, I had a question. This year, at the end of this year, our goals expire. And so.
It expired.
Have expired. So I didn't know if that falls under one-time funds, under other services to pay for I don't know how you've all done it in the past, but I would assume it's a day of board retreat, board training, come up with it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know
if
that.
Let's do that.
So I don't know if that comes in here, but it has expired. So that was my question.
Ellie and I are working together on giving you some proposals for you to look at. That's the way we've done it in the past. We sort of look at what the state's doing, look at what the federal government's doing, and I don't see a need always to recreate things at the local level when we're being measured by certain things. So when we started here, we said, well, what's their measure? And I said, well, let's get there sooner than they're getting there. So instead of 2014, let's get there 2010. And we tweaked what the state and the feds. As you know, new administration in Sacramento, so we don't want to get too far ahead of it because we don't know what they're doing yet, but the whole national standards movement and stuff is what Ellie and I are working on for you.
Okay.
And hopefully, you know, we'll know more after the new administration gets there, like, say, February.
Okay.
Because they're revisiting, you know, the new superintendent of education is looking at it. There will be new appointments at the board level. And I always feel like it's best when we align to what we're being measured at the state and the federal level.
Okay. That was my question.
Anything else? I don't think we have a motion on there because there's just direction to
figure
stuff out. Item number 12, Options Head Start. I pulled this off because I wanted to get a copy of the MOU, and I guess they'll have it.
We not have it?
They'll get it for the next meeting.
Okay, sorry.
So if that's okay, we'll table that till the next meeting so we can get a copy of the MOU. Right? Nobody has it in there, right? Okay. And then 18 budget revisions. All right. You asked to have that taken off, Mr. Cox?
I did. Actually, it's not addressing particular items on this, but on October, I think it was October 29th meeting, we did some budget transfers that we, you know, sort of based on it, not temporary, but just for further discussion in the future. And I wasn't sure did we talk about doing it in January? Did we talk about now? Or because I thought we could do it in conjunction with the interim report, but the interim report's coming out now.
Much approved already.
I don't remember either. So anyway, let's go on with what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
First of all,
You all haven't met Dana Smith. This is Dana Smith, our fiscal director.
Okay.
She is here. You all see her?
No, I can, yeah.
Behind the podium.
And so, okay, but we had the Teachers Association representatives asking, mm-hmm. and that happened to be one of my questions, is on these this EduJobs money.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I understand that we transferred this money out is because this is restricted money that we had to show the receipt and the revenue in general fund restricted. And then the correspondence we got from staff was that we were given a memo by the California Department of Department of Education saying that we could use that money to offset compensation. So we had a list of 18 names that we took their salaries, moved it over to restricted money, and then offset it against that restricted revenue. Mm-hmm. So it's a net push. We have an allotment of $1.9 million in EduJobs money, but we've got, 80 or 90% now, $1.7 million. So that 1.7 went over. We have used 1.3 already in the reduction of these and moving it over. And I guess my question is, let me start. First off, on the list of the 18 names, was there any rhyme or reason why these specific individuals were picked and used?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a question.
And what was it?
Okay. Yes. We have, as you know, that program at the middle school level that requires overhires in terms of the student-teacher ratio because of the schedule that was created for the middle schools. And, okay, so you know teachers' positions are given based on the number of students. Well, we needed more students to create that program. So now we were able to take those teachers and fund it through this program. Make sense? So it saves us general funds that is more than we would get if we were just going on norming. Does that make sense?
No. I don't understand it.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead. Okay.
So at Walnut Grove, for example, let's say that their student count says that we should have, give me a number, 28 teachers.
28
instead of 28
teachers.
Yes.
Or students.
Yes, based on student count.
Okay.
You get X. Yeah, it's just an example. Okay. So based on their student count, right? And our contract says 32 for this class, 20 for this class, blah blah blah. We come up with 28, right? But for this program that we implemented at the middle school, we really needed 32 or 33. Okay. So the district kicked in general dollars to create that program in excess of the teachers that are funded based on ADA. So now what we've done is taking that excess and said, okay, we didn't furlough people, we didn't lay off people, but this is a good way of us recuperating some of our money that we're spending on that program.
Okay.
Most school districts, and this is why Ms. Van Eyck believes that the teachers' union has to negotiate
this. It's their money.
They believe it's their money. But that, in essence, isn't the requirement that it be negotiated. What happened was, if school districts laid off teachers, gave furloughs, gave stipends, it was recommended that those things be given back before you do anything else. Okay, so we didn't qualify one, we didn't do that, we didn't do two, we didn't do three, right? So they actually gave us free money that we didn't need.
Right.
I mean, we always can use it, but we didn't lay off people in order to, you know, so we took that money and we used it for the excess staffing created by this special program.
And that's the 7-period day?
Yes.
By doing so, didn't we then, we freed up general fund unrestricted money.
Correct.
That we theoretically could use for anything we wanted to, including administrative type things or whatever it is. And my concern in bringing up this item was that, you know, did we inadvertently violate the law that said that we couldn't use EduJobs money for doing that? So you're saying that we had in effect
we didn't use it for administrative positions. That got
No. Anyway, I would have liked to have seen us in some manner. I mean, I understand, I guess, partially about what we've done with this, and maybe also you could take a few minutes to on the high school teachers. But I would like to have seen us try to do something, you know, at least in good faith towards the teachers. I don't care if it was a bonus or a reimbursement of expenses or something of that nature, with at least part of it. It doesn't have to be 100%. And the other thing is, I was hoping that maybe we could hold back some for next year should we have a decrease in enrollment or decrease in funding that's going to impact us, so that we could then use those money to save jobs.
Yeah. Okay. The thinking in our budget process is this. We have to have maintenance of program and effort to get student scores up. So our goal has been those 9 principles that Ruben gave 4 years ago. We don't want to raise class size. We don't want to have teacher layoffs. We don't want to cut programs that we've been professional development to death on, and all of a sudden the state cuts us. So we are going into our bottom line $3 million, okay? So if you look at it as the world stands still, that $3 million comes from your bottom line. The reason the world doesn't stand still is because you get this ARRA money, you get this Fed money, you get this and you get that, and things come in and out. Our whole goal has been maintain the schools whole so that their efforts and their focus continue to be improving student achievement. If you start taking lottery and saying, well, give it to them now, and then the state takes more and we don't have that to backfill the programs that we want to continue, we will be at this table very soon saying, okay, we need to cut counselors, we need to cut this, we need to cut that. Because that's just the way public school financing works. And so if you look at our budget as number one goal, maintain the core program, maintain teachers, English, math, science, social study, maintain those programs for children and fund that first. Then there's all the things that come are nice to haves, and then there's the really nice to haves. Well, we don't anymore have really nice to haves, and we're cutting the nice to haves to almost half. And so what we're saying in terms of our budget and these interim reports is that as long as we save the lottery in the event that the core program needs it, rather than next year, okay, in order to keep it going, you sort of keep saving those monies that are rolling over. And I understand, you know, Mr. Cox, what you're saying about, well, it's nice to give it to the children today because we did get it today. The problem is that in order to maintain long-range goals and programs, you have to manage this money in a way that you're not spending it in the year that you're getting it because you're being cut in the year that you're getting it.
But we are spending it in the year that we're getting it.
Well, we're saving lottery, right? We save that adult money. We've been saving some things, and then we take a little bit of it to continue the program each year. Because if we didn't do that, the state cut, our schools got cut 15%. So they wouldn't be able to maintain programs, aids, computers, technology, you know, all of the programs that we have. Our budget basically remains focused on the schools and their needs. That's why you don't see in the lottery money anything except instructional materials and professional development.
Okay. And then what are we going to do about the, you know, there was $1 million, I questioned before, $1 million transfers out of these these capital projects funds and building funds?
Yeah, only because there's deferrals. Okay, so.
So we're going to transfer it back then when we get the cash? I mean, that's the concept with cash. It's just
it's
a cash flow
mirrors.
Issue.
It's
then.
Yes,
so
correct.
We're borrowing it to use it, and then we're going to send it back and refill?
Depending on what happens.
Well.
Right? Because sometimes.
Well, now, if it's strictly a deferral.
You're right. If it is strictly a deferral. But if it isn't, and sometimes they say it is, and then they say, nah, we're going to just take it. We thought we were going to give it to you as a deferral, but instead, we can't give it to you. So.
But you'd think with $18 million, you know, we wouldn't need to do that. It doesn't really give us any, you know, the timing of it is just a question. I mean, we have the money, we have the cash. If we're limited in the amount of income or cash that we get, not necessarily the income.
Right.
The cash that we get, we have reserves sufficient to do that. It just seemed like a movement that was unnecessary at the time.
Dina, do you want to add anything to that particular one? Is there anything?
The deferral schedule?
No, just the timing last October when we transferred $1 million out of the Special Reserve for Capital Projects and the Building Fund.
Well, like the superintendent mentioned, it's a budgeted transfer. So, you know, if we need to do it, then it'll happen. It's budget. It hasn't actually occurred. So if you're looking at, what page are you looking at? The column?
Yeah, no, it's not in this period. It's in, we did it a month ago.
Yeah. So basically.
So it is in here now.
Huh. So we've moved it out. We moved it out of those funds. Those building funds. I mean, those are just for, this goes back decades
right.
of, you know, when we tried to realize that, look, in lieu of, you know, going to the people and asking them to pay in more money through bond proposals, that we need to establish a savings type account where as we take certain funds that are perhaps even non-recurring funds or certainly not revenue limits or special grants or restricted grants, that we take money transfer into these building funds and accumulate funds, use it as we need it, of course, but at the same time, hopefully avoid having to go at that time and ask for money through other funding resources.
Yeah.
More taxes.
There are different facility funds, and the one that I think you have referred to isn't the one that was the money was taken from. That one that the board created is still
No, not
oh,
this,
okay.
not the
okay.
not the one for education
okay.
enhancements.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I'm talking specifically
okay.
for the special for capital projects and building
okay.
funds.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think it's just a cash flow issue at the time.
Okay.
But if you get it back, it goes back in there. Usually, whatever account it comes out of, if you get that deferral, it goes back into that.
Okay. All I have.
Any questions? How would we track that? What Mr. Cox was talking about, if it's being pulled out just for cash flow purposes, I mean, when would we be able to track that it's going back in?
The next interim and the next interim and then the final budget.
Okay, so it's not going back then December 14th, right? Because there's no budget transfer in here.
Right, right.
Okay, so how would we know how long this? I mean, because you know, Mr. Cox is right. There's a lot of money in that account now.
Yeah.
So what was the cash? I mean, what's the cash flow need, and when can we get it back in the capital?
We were told that deferral is not coming to us, I believe, until June. Is that right? Wasn't the
23
BBB.
There's a schedule.
23 BBB. Is there a BBB? I see it.
I don't see 23.
Where is it?
Here.
Or B?
Where's the back? Keep going. Oh, I see where the triples. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we start over again?
Oh, you mean in the interim? You mean in the interim report?
Yes. Correct. Correct.
Freebies. There it is.
23 BB. Okay.
No, I must be different. I have this one. It's in the executive summary.
4Bs.
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 24B.
So 23
4Bs.
Okay, so go to 23 4As and then go to 23 4Bs. Clear as mud. I see. Yeah, you're right. It's 23.
Yeah. So that shows our typical. This shows the deferral schedule by the state. So this is our typical, you know, revenue that we'll be getting. And it shows the shift. So you can see they're shifting about $12 million to July and August. So when you say we have $18 million, yes, we do. But $12 million is a huge chunk. And, you know, we have payrolls running every month. So we do want to make sure that we have that cash available in case we do need to pull it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. But why would we transfer that then in October?
Well, it's a budgeted transfer. No actual transfer has been made. So if we need
so the October one has not been made?
No, if you look.
Just budget revision.
Right, right.
Right. They're just revisions in the event that it's needed because of the deferral notice.
On page 23E, if you take a look. Sorry.
1E?
23 1E only.
Okay.
So if you look at these columns, it says column A says original budget, B operating budget, and C says actuals. So C is what's actually happened, and if you see it, there's zeros because nothing has actually happened yet.
It's anticipated. It's an anticipated expenditure.
I'm sorry, 23E, which line?
Columns B and C. Column B is the budget, and column C is what's actual. So the transfers have actually not happened because there's zero there. When they do happen, then you will see amounts in that column.
But we would have approved it 6 months earlier.
Right, right. That's just showing you that they're in the budget. There's nothing has been moved.
Okay, because don't we receive some matching stuff with some of the capital stuff we do? That's
why
I was asking when we talk about maximizing
that,
money.
We haven't really seen that lately. It's been a while since we've really seen it.
And on deferred maintenance, have they been funding that match?
No. All that's on hold.
Okay. Let me go back here. And then I just one quick question. What was the $365,000 increase in local revenue that in the restricted general fund? Because that seemed like a lot for a budget revision at this point for local revenue.
Yeah, what page are you on, Mike? What page are you on?
18G.
18G.
18G in the restricted. I mean, it does just seem like at this point, you know, I mean, it seemed like a lot. That seemed like an unusual increase compared to the others in the revenue at this point in December. Because, you know, all the other ones were 10,000, you know, 60,000. This one was 300. Do you know what that was?
No. Yeah, it's in
I'm actually on the item that's on the agenda.
On 18G in the middle of
18G
the page.
18G on, yeah, 18G.
We'll get the detail. Okay, we'll get you the detail.
Okay.
send, you know, it's just a, you know, I don't know who set out this format, and it's probably been this way for a bazillion years.
You don't like it?
But it is, you know, it's sometimes you have to call and ask, you know, what is this for, what is that for? I'm just going from a public side of it. I mean, we generally know this. I don't happen to know this particular one, but we generally know what this involves. If it's a workers' compensation liability issue, I mean, we've been involved to know some of these things that have happened we expect to have come in. But sometimes it'd be nice, instead of just say, to recognize an increase of $365,000 in other local revenue, you can look at the schedule and see it increased by that much.
Okay,
but
so more detail.
Yeah, local revenue for, you know, an additional resource of money that we didn't otherwise have.
We can do that.
Something of that nature.
We can do that.
And then one that's only partially on this, I guess, is in dealing with the cafeteria fund, because we've always run surpluses in the cafeteria fund. But, you know, the federal government is, you know, they increased the reimbursement rate, but they also increased the standards, I guess, is the right word.
Yes.
They're going to force fruit on everybody and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, when will we have, when will food services have a way of telling us what the impact of that's going to be on the cafeteria fund? Because my understanding is the reimbursement's not going to cover the costs. You know, although right now we make, I don't want to use the word profit, right? Make a surplus off of it.
Right.
But so the question is, when will, do you think
we'll
have
our new director will be here at 1st of January for food services.
January 2nd, 3rd.
January 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know how you are about that. And then we'll get you that report to see what, you know, based on what she sees, and because I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, because at some point we got to have something on that, because there's going to be some kind of impact to that. Okay. Anything else on this?
Lord.
Anything else? Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Just before we go to the presentation, maybe just one comment.
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize. I had actually intended to bring item 23 off of consent so we'd have a chance to talk about it. But the questions that I have, I'll just submit in questions to get detail. It's not about the report itself. It's just about getting additional information. So I will do that. And just so Dana knows that if...
she has something to look forward to.
Well, not only that, but also that I think that perhaps maybe this next year, if I'm in a position to do so,
yes,
we may change the priorities of the format of the agenda and see... budget and finance things can be wrapped a little bit earlier in the agenda, and so that she doesn't have to stay till midnight to do these things. So.
This is a learning experience for her. She enjoys it.
Okay, before we get to item 9, we are going to go back at the end. Please look at those dates to remember, and we are going to go back into closed session briefly. So when this is over. So I still don't understand why under our board policy we have this moved and all this stuff in there. But but I don't understand it, but because supposedly it's automatic according to our board policy.
Where are we?
Item 9, right?
Organizational portion
meeting.
At the
right?
meeting.
What number is it?
It's very last paper.
Oh, why we format it that way? Is that what you're saying?
Because it's automatic, right?
Well, no. I thought
the policy was automatic.
No.
We didn't. The policy wasn't included this time.
No. No, you're supposed to know that already.
We've had nothing but confusion over the policy since it's been adopted.
No. Okay. So we did not want to take anything for granted in terms of how this all works, and so we put it in a way that it can work any way you would like it to.
Okay. Well, my understanding is it's automatic. Am I wrong in how I understand that policy?
It wasn't automatic last time.
Hmm?
It was an automatic last
time.
Yeah,
it was. Well, someone declined, but yeah.
Well, no, I didn't decline. I said I did not believe I was eligible. That is very, very, very clear on the record.
I think the ruling was actually that you had declined. But anyways.
I think so, but I said I do not believe I am eligible for this position.
You see, ever since
we've... nobody on the board who said,
we need to rewrite
I'll
this
second
policy.
The motion... I think you're incorrect, Ms. Shoemaker. There was not one bit of discussion.
You know, whoever
says that to be clerk, you have to be out of an office on the board for 2 years.
But then did
and then the other parts of it's reference if you've been on the board less than 2 years, and whoever has been on longest of the 2 years. I have been on longer than 2 years, and, you know, So none of the other exceptions apply to me.
It would be helpful if one of the people that voted for this policy would, we could look at it and try to revise it when we do it in July to somehow, because there's always been problems every time since we've adopted the supposed policy that was going to eliminate controversy. So, you know, at some point we need to do that.
The controversy that has been created has been board created, not policy created.
Actually, every time. Every time. Can't think of a time there hasn't been. But anyways, yeah. President, I believe Mr. Cox becomes president. Is that correct?
If we follow the rotation as it is now, yes.
Okay.
Can we just have somebody move and go through the motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, it's approved 5-0. Vice President? What do you guys want to do?
I'll move Nylene.
Is there a second? I'll second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's approved 5-0. Clerk. Is there a motion? Well, there's a disagreement on who it is.
I thought Cammie was next in the rotation.
No, I'm next in the rotation. Ms. Polis has not been out of office for more than 2 years.
But if you decline, you go to the end of the line.
Ms. Polis, would you like to be clerk and ignore board policy for the second year in a row?
Actually, board policy, if it's approved 4-1, is not a violation of board policy.
Board policy also states if you have held an office in the last 2 years, you cannot be clerk.
Unless.
No, there is no unless. Ms. Polis has been on the board for longer than 2 years. There was not an election that created a vacancy. It's that simple.
We don't have it in front of us. I thought it hit the last line. It said unless the board.
Ms. Shoemaker, I'm not declining it, so I don't want to be out of the rotation and go to the bottom. I'm making that very clear. But I'm fine with Ms. Shoemaker being clerk.
Really quickly.
Because
at the annual
Hold on a second. Is there a motion yet?
The governing board shall appoint a clerk from its own membership. The appointment shall be made to the member who has not held a board office for a period of 2 years. If the two members who are not currently board officers have served on the board for less than 2 years, which Ms. Polis and I have both been on longer than 2 years, the one who has served the greatest length of time shall be appointed.
Mm-hmm.
If both members are of equal time in office, which we're not, and have served less than 2 years, again, we haven't served less than 2 years, the clerk shall be determined by the higher certified vote total between those two members at that election.
Mm-hmm.
That is the entire policy, except for the description.
Okay, where are we at? Okay.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez is reviewing the policy.
This is from last year's?
The language you're referring to about the opting out of the rotation is under the president and vice president only. It's not under the clerk's position.
Is there a motion?
I'll move that Ms. Shoemaker be clerk.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. Passes 4-1. City of West Covina District Joint Subcommittee. Does that meet? You guys still meet?
They've never even called one.
Yeah, I got asked why nobody from West Covina was at the last one that was held, and I told them that it was because we didn't get notified. And so I've only heard of one, and it's been a couple of years now, but it officially still exists.
Okay, is there a motion, decision? Want to leave it the same?
Leave the two. They've done an outstanding job.
Thank you.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. Leave it as is. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved 5-0.
The next one, I believe that I am not the person who sits on that. I believe that Ms. Miranda Jimenez got it. We
The only one that I was on was this one.
No, we gave you one of the new ones.
Big old wonderful.
I don't remember that, or I wasn't called to any.
I second it.
We'll do them all at the same.
This one I remember was the only one I wanted.
No, we won't.
But, okay.
Give them one at a time?
Yeah.
What do I need to do?
It's confusing, so just do one at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've never held
that. Because people are talking. Okay, who wants to have the Los Angeles County Committee on School District Organization?
I'll keep it, but if somebody else wants it, go ahead.
You'll keep it, but you didn't have it.
Yeah.
What do they do? I mean, I'll
basically, if there's ever a controversy over school boundaries, that's where they come into play.
And so, and
you know, school district boundaries.
The
I mean,
time
that is.
That I've held a position, we've had a lot of conflicts. I don't know if you want it.
You know, the last one I remember was San Gabriel. Was San Gabriel when San Gabriel was trying to unify? That was the only one I really remember. There were a lot of votes on San Gabriel. That was well back. Okay, all in favor, is that a motion, Eileen? Yes, it is.
Yes, that's a motion.
And I second it to keep that the same. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 5-0. Alexa?
I'm fine with staying there if nobody else wants it.
Okay.
Does Eileen want a description of what that is?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm good.
You're interested. They do have some good trainings, but anyone's invited. I mean, not trainings, but speakers
meetings
at times. But anybody can go. You don't have to be a member to go to the dinners.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't vote at the meetings. We really don't vote on a lot of issues.
Well, I'd love to accompany you if you'd let me know, and then maybe the following year I'll.
Okay.
I haven't seen a notice for them lately. Are they?
They meet twice a year.
Yeah, but I haven't seen a notice lately for them. Okay.
I wonder if they have been emailing them out, but I wonder if they've only been emailing them out
to the members.
But I will pass it on in case other people want to go to the dinners. I didn't realize nobody else was getting them.
Yeah.
I guess I'll move that one.
Okay, it's moved. And I'll second it. Eileen seconded it to leave that the same. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, 5-0, ROP.
I have served one term. I would like to serve an additional term. Right now, I have brought it up at ROP meetings that we're looking at the structure and the organization, and that board members were welcome to give me input into what you would like the ROP to do for you. At this point, based on the resignation a couple of years ago of the longstanding superintendent, the board decided to look at possible alternates to the structure of employees at the ROP. We are towards the end of that process, but in a crucial state for there to be consistency in our representation. We have a special board meeting next month followed by a regular board meeting, and I can't get into details of what the special board meeting will be about, but besides to say it's about the reorganization. And so I think for ROP and our district that at this point any change would not be beneficial to either one. I don't know what the rest of the board wants to do with it, but again, I've served one term. I don't plan on serving 16 years as the member before me did, but I think it behooves us to not make a change with this time.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll move Jessica for this position. Ms. Shoemaker?
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No.
No. It's defeated 2-3. Is there an alternative motion?
I move that we put Mr. Spence there.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No. And again,
okay.
Mr. Spence.
Passes 3-2.
You served for 16 years, and when you were removed, it was after you had served 16 years.
California Virtual
members.
Academy.
We're
is there a motion?
The item. Other board members
is there a motion?
Have a chance.
I'll go ahead and move that we keep it the same. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, it's 4-1. Okay, and I think that's it. Board of Education discussion. Does anyone have anything they wish to discuss?
Yes. Again, The ROP, you served for 16 years, 8 terms. And because you're mad that somebody asked for a chance to learn what ROP was about, the three that voted for this made a decision that is detrimental to the students of our district and the organization of ROP. So I sincerely hope that you are proud of the decision that was made.
Okay, that it?
Yep.
Anything else? Great. We're going to close session.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we'll have anything to report out.